Garage over Rustavelli Avenue. This is TabeelPod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 19th of April, 2012. On this date, in 1770, Captain James Cook sights the east coast of what is now Australia. 1775, the American Revolution starts with an American victory at Lexington and Concord. Will Dunbar, hope you're listening. 1803, the widow of the last Georgian king, Georgi the 12th. His widow, Queen Mariam, kills Russian general Lazarev. In 1839, the Treaty of London establishes Belgium as a kingdom. In 1956, Grace Kelly marries Prince Rainier of Monaco. 1971, Vietnam veterans against the war demonstrate in Washington. In 1987, The Simpsons premieres as a short cartoon on the Tracy Ullman Show. 1999, the German Bundestag returns to Berlin after
Bundestag.
Being... That's what I said.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Jawohl. In Berlin, it was in Bonn since 1945. Oh my god! Germanic-speaking people correcting me freaks me
it's
out.
It's Bonn.
Yeah. Bonn. Très bon. Très bon. In 2002, My Big Fat Greek Wedding is released. And for those in the know, this is Bicycle Day. Today it's me, Cameron Christensen, and Matthias Uter of the Teutonic Uters. Nothing represents any of our employers, only us. Remember in December 2011, we mentioned the Free Democrats, Irakli Alassani's guy in Parliament, Georgi Tsagadeishvili's son, getting beaten up by unknown attackers, allegedly politically motivated? Well, according to a somewhat reliable source that I have spoken to, it wasn't actually politically motivated. They found the guy who did it, and it was just sort of a regular bar fight, but they don't seem willing to say that, even though privately they've admitted it, which is landing the guy in jail, and is not so nice. Anyway, so we'll be doing our best to check out all those allegations. If you know we ever report on something saying that government thugs were mean and they weren't actually mean, then you know, please be sure to communicate with us, as happened this time around. Also, our a report from the Ossetian border. I mean the administrative boundary that isn't a border, from our TabeelPod zone, South Ossetian administrative boundary line that isn't a border correspondent. The Georgian villages have been stripped, some have been torched, and stand empty. Some have even been bulldozed under.
These, I guess, were the uninhabited, the ones that had been...
inhabited villages, the Georgian villages that are, you know, in inside, like, sort of north of Ergneti.
But I thought the bulldozing happened actually already in 2008, 2009. So, but
yes.
Maybe it's more of that happening.
Yes, I did not hear that there was any more bulldozing, but I mean, evidently some of the villages, like, they're sort of growing over, and, you know, I mean, they really are gone from what I've heard. You used to be able to wander through sort of people's Ezos to get, like, across the boundary line, but evidently now there are more bases, there are more patrols, and they have dogs, and it's increasingly tough to do that. So, any intrepid freelancers who want to take the easy route in there, watch out.
Wear your running shoes.
Wear your running shoes, exactly, and carry a can of ground black pepper. Prime Minister Nika Gilaudi is in Brazil this week attending the Open Government Partnership, which is a cool thing, a Soros initiative that Obama bought into and a lot of heads of states made commitments to last fall, that talks about what they will do with their data and how governments will be open. The hardest working NGO in Georgia, Transparency International, has sent a couple people there, Eka Gilaudi, the executive director, and Derek Doler, the digital guru. As well as Gilaudi, there's Vashadze from the Public and Civil Registry, Vatolejava, who's the chief operating officer of the government. I don't know what his official title is.
Advisor to the Prime Minister.
Advisor to the Prime Minister, and a few others. the OGP is designed to promote transparent, effective, and accountable governments with institutions that empower citizens and are responsive to their aspirations.
And what is also interesting, it's actually not only a Soros or Obama administration, but the Brazilians are really into it.
Yeah, they are so really into it, and they're taking it quite seriously.
Yeah, and And, you know, like Google chipped in some money, and then there was a group of donors, not only Soros, that also supported it. And a lot of governments bought in, including the Georgian government, which is it's a great initiative that they are supporting this effort.
I think there are about 53 governments, actually, that are represented right now.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, you make commitments, and some of the commitments are kind of lame, and some of them don't have too much consultation going on. But so far, the Georgian government seems to be, you know, out in front and really pretty sincere about the whole thing. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. In Gilaudi's speech, he was one of the sort of heads of state, quasi heads of state that made a presentation there. And he talked about the Georgia Reforms and Partnership Enterprise, or GRAPE, a new agency to promote and share the country's reforms worldwide, which is kind of like, I don't know, sounds like the sort of Georgian GTZ, which is sort of interesting. I mean, his speech was a little, I thought the Tanzanian president's speech was a lot cooler. I mean, it was so much, here's all the great stuff that we've done. You know, it was, and they do that a lot. And I think, you know, I don't know, I know that self-deprecation is not a great talent of this government, but, you know, anyway.
The message was kind of come and invest in Georgia, I think. It was not that we're going to be, you know, very accountable to our citizens.
Right, look at all the great stuff that we've now done that makes us great and better than you.
When I looked at the commitments, actually, it's a lot of electronic, or online initiatives, it seems, that are going to be coming online in 2013.
Yeah, because technology, the OGP idea is that two key components are using technology and kind of engaging in a dialogue with citizens and civil society.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is a worthy effort. The other great thing that The Guardian picked up on one of its blogs was that Gilaudi talked about the new drive-through passport system, which will, I don't know that there's a drive-through burger joint in Georgia, which means getting a passport will be easier than buying a burger if you have a car. The problem is with this car fetish that the government has is that I needed to go into the media, the mayor's office in Sabertalo the other day, which is impossible to walk into. Like the Radisson, it is designed presuming that people will only drive there. There's not really a sort of normal way to walk there except through the parking lot. In the media, you have to, you know, cross traffic or, you know, go down a mile and a half to the nearest, you know, crosswalk that goes over, you know, upstairs and over.
And actually, one idea that would take all this further is that people in the Ministry of Justice have talked about, you know, why shouldn't we privatize the passport issuing? And, like, why should a private company run, you know, the service halls and all that? So there are some people who, like, want to take it really to an extreme, saying, you know, the government is not efficient in doing it. We're going to have a private company who does all
that. Well, with those, you know, public halls in the registry, the government seems pretty gosh darn efficient to me. I mean, I know philosophically they say that government shouldn't be able to do that, but they themselves have proven themselves wrong by having the government do that so well.
Being very efficient about it.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody who's ever gotten a driver's license or a passport in the United States compared with Georgia,
it's... Or comparing to sending a letter in Italy at a post office.
Yeah, well, there isn't a post office in Georgia, though. I mean, yeah. Yeah, well, okay, I don't know. I've never sent
a letter. So.
Or picking up a letter at a post office in Belgium.
Right. Once again, Matthias pipes in with his postal fetish. One of the six people detained on suspicion of involvement in the attack of de facto president of Abkhazia, Alexander Ankvab, has committed suicide. I did not say that with air quotes. We don't know anything other than that. The incident happened in Sukhumi Pre-Child Detention Facility. Another suspect apparently tried to cut his own throat. Almaz Bey Kchach, ex-minister of Interior Affairs of Abkhazia, also committed suicide. He was suspected in involvement of organizing the attack on the president. Kchach was found in his apartment in the city of Gagra, clutching a gun with a gun wound to the head. Georgian Railways, which claims to be one of the world's most profitable rail operators, has outlined plans to become the first state-controlled railway monopoly listed on the London Stock Exchange. Irakli Azubaya, Georgian Railways chief executive, said the ex-Soviet state government would use proceeds from the listing expected in May to invest in Georgia's infrastructure. 25% of the capital will be sold. Georgian Railways will be the first traditional state railway monopoly with infrastructure owning arm and freight and passenger operations to list its shares anywhere in the world.
And I think this is a very interesting case because, first of all, Georgian companies going public, I think being listed on a Western stock exchange is probably the best way to privatize a company, or partly privatize it, because you make sure that it's not one insider who buys it, you know, who is the only guy who knows the actual value and then makes a lot of cash with it. I think that's, and also being on a London Stock Exchange, you have to become more transparent. You have to be really open because you have to comply with all these rules and regulations there. But one thing that is interesting about the railways, I mean, it's only a minority share, but I don't know of any case around the world where a railway has been privatized successfully. There was New Zealand, which is an often quoted case, but it has been renationalized in the end. The UK is not a great example where it has really worked out. So I think it's great that they partly privatize it, but that the government keeps, you know, control over it. And how they make their money, it's transporting oil from Azerbaijan to the Black Sea. I mean, they make only 10% of their turnover is from passengers. Most of their money is coming from freight traffic. And there's actually no regulation on the Georgian railways, which the Georgian government says makes it more attractive for investors. But for example, they could hike up prices, you know, and there's no rule on that.
That's what worries me. I mean, if they're so crazy about listing, and I absolutely agree with you that listing is the best way to privatize. I mean, for example, when they sort of sold rights to Tbilisi Water, for example, there was a big publicly listed international water company that didn't get the bid. It would have been a great thing if they'd gotten that, you know, and there have been many big privatization possibilities that could have brought, you know, listed companies in there. But in this particular case, I mean, okay, so I, you know, they're talking about a minority share, but, you know, still those shareholders, you know, they're going to assumedly, you know, want to get seats on boards and this and that and say, like, you know, why are we offering subsidized tickets to, you know, for kids to go to summer camp in Kobuleti, you know, why don't we, you know, let's just move more oil, you know, and right. So I mean, the passenger...
Like, yeah, why should we have passenger trains if we lose money on that?
Yeah, what's the point?
Right now, marshrutkas are, I think, more expensive on most routes than taking the train.
Right.
Most other countries, train is usually cheaper, is usually fairly cheap. Transportation, I mean, but marshrutkas or buses are cheaper.
Well, and the train system up until recently was really, really bad. I mean, very unsanitary and just poorly run.
Yeah, I mean, so in this case, we'll have to take a look at this. But in general, certainly the move towards public listing led by Bank of Georgia is a great thing. Ivanishvili is going to present his party on Saturday. Evidently, according to Sybil.ge, Georgian Dream will start naming majoritarian candidates in May, which will be a big step. It'll be very interesting to see who they get. The over 1,000 delegates who've been invited to the congressmen. Let's see if they are allowed into the city or if all of a sudden there's checkpoints.
But we don't know who's going to run for chairman of the party.
Exactly.
Because you have to be a Georgian national to do that.
Big surprise. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe his wife. I don't know. We'll see. They have nobody has said who the chairman is going to be yet. So watch this space. Democracy and Freedom Watch says that Ivanishvili has agreed to run for parliamentary elections as a French citizen.
Is that legal?
I don't know. Well, it's going to be, evidently.
Well,
I don't know.
Constitutional changes, they're going to make it legal if you're a Georgian-born EU citizen.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, so you think that those are going to go through?
I think they will go through. They've been discussed, which means, you know, if taking history since November 2003 or since February 6, 2004, the amendments that started it all... you know, that's been the case. When they discuss them, they pass. So.
Well, it was an opposition initiative, though, with air quotes, from the Christian Democrats.
Right.
So
great. Well, glad we brought you into the air quotes fraternity. the Georgian Lawyers Association told Internews that a teacher, an ambulance driver, and another public employee in the town of Gurjani were fired for supporting the Georgian Dream. Speaking of Kakheti, remember Gulchina, poor lady from Kakheti who was yelled at for saying that the Bidzina should get his citizenship back? According to Kakheti Information Center, they reported last night that her house was ransacked while she was at a neighbor's. dishes and furniture were smashed, which is a bummer because T.I. Went and spoke to her.
Yeah, and then actually I talked to her a couple of weeks ago, and that I mentioned that on the show, I think. She was one of the people who apparently, you know, got the message that after they were speaking in favor of Ivanishvili's citizenship with 70% of the Georgian population support that, apparently, according to CRC. And she had basically, she told me that she gets her food from a soup kitchen that is government operated. And that when she went to the soup kitchen, she was asked to go to the local government and apologize for what she had said. And that she would never, you know, wouldn't be allowed to get food there in the future if she would speak out in favor of the opposition. And it sends a terrible signal that, you know, after she had been intimidated the first time, somebody came back and smashed her small, very humble apartment. It really sends a very bad signal to the whole community or to the whole region. Everybody who hears about that will think twice before he speaks his mind about politics in the future. So,
Let's hope that doesn't happen and that the government gets a mechanism set to check into cases like that and do something about them sooner rather than later. Sosar Subadi, the former public defender ombudsman, was in Switzerland visiting journalist Vakhtang Kalmakhidze, who made videos and things like that, a very sort of incendiary journalist. He has said that the government plans to murder Ivanishvili, which is typical of Kalmakhidze.
Kalmakhidze said that?
Yes, and Sosar Subadi is in Switzerland visiting him. He used to work for, I think, Kassioni or something like that. Abrasive figure.
Well, he sought asylum and I guess received it.
Right. Yeah, I guess. Christian Democrats are going to suggest amendments to the law which will incorporate Christian values and morals.
Is that the Hungarian style?
No, wait, they said it was like somebody.
So that you can't have casinos and Buddha bars close to churches.
What's a Buddha bar?
You know, there's that Buddha bar by the park, you know, across, you know, the bridge named after the... that bridge, right at the other side of that bridge, sort of under the park, there's a Buddha bar. It's like some,
next to this...
A new one.
Yes, a new one.
They made a new dive bar? That's awesome.
Well, it's not a dive bar. It's like, I think it's supposed to be pretty shishy. I mean, I haven't been in there. I don't know. But anyway, there's some Buddha bar. You know Buddha bar music. I think of it as music. I didn't know there were actual Buddha bars, but evidently there is one.
That's how the music came about.
Okay,
there's one in Ibiza.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ibiza. Ibiza. So they have one, and I guess probably the Kulniks are hanging out there. And I don't really understand this. I mean, let's be real. You know, the Christian Democrats are pretty close to the government, you know, and everybody kind of knows that. And the government has really taken a pretty principled stand, you know, against the ridiculousness at times of the Patriarch and the Georgian Orthodox Church. It just seems like these, you know, these Christian values, like, why are they doing this? I mean, who, does anybody really, I mean, is this...
Can I tell you, though, if I drive to work before, like, 8 o'clock in the morning, I still see advertisements for strippers up on the big screen over by the Radisson.
Really?
Yeah, up until 8 in the morning.
Wow, I didn't know that. I don't get up before then, but... speaking of Christian values, Liberale writes on how some really quite seriously obese priest was not letting some poor lady sell candles in the street. There was a video of this. He was really aggressive and insulting, as were his followers, when the author of the story tried to defend her.
I would be actually very interested in seeing the annual turnover of the Georgian church. I mean, I guess they don't pay taxes, but... sometimes you see a priest in a Land Rover, or, you know, I recently saw one in an Audi A8 with another priest driving him. And I'm just wondering, where is all the cash coming from? I know there's a certain amount of several million lares coming from the government, but, I mean, they're making a good amount of money. They're a big economic force, I think. And
Well, they actually, I mean, they just, this past week, they just laid the groundwork for a new church that's going to be built, and it's all being built on believers' donations.
Yeah, because that's what we need. You know, those little churches that the, like, old, retired Shepherd Nunze's interior ministry guys would build, the final bribe, you know, those churches.
Right. But actually, I mean, the patriarch is driving a more humble car than many of the...
Slightly more humble.
Slightly more humble.
Well, that's good of him. Eurasianet wrote about property rights issues on Ajara in Svaneti that we mentioned. It looks as if there'll be a New York Times article coming out about that as well. Some of the crew at TI Georgia spotted that the city of Tbilisi spent $225,000 to cut down healthy lime trees and replace them with 120 young cypress trees bought for 990 lari. Each, it was a complete waste of money since the lime trees that they were cut were young and healthy, and the cypress trees they planted are rarely used for that type of landscaping. There are some pictures, very depressing pictures, put up on Facebook that were much commented on.
Well, and I
the
think
the company
everybody...
which does that is LTD Green Service, which is owned by former Deputy Mayor Lasha. Many consonants, Lasha Portskvanidze, and former Deputy Gamgebeli Kob Karshiladze.
I think everybody should appreciate also that there's been a lot of re-landscaping already done in Tbilisi, so I don't know, I mean, how old these trees would have, when these trees would have been planted that were removed also, because all of, like, Rustavelli has been redone.
And they cut the trees so much, they prune them so heavily. Like, what is the deal with that? I mean, you see these weird denuded trees that they kind of somewhat sort of grow back, but I don't understand why they do that. Anybody know anything about that? We need a tree expert. Listen, if there are any tree experts listening, can you, from the audience, can you identify yourselves, tblpod@gmail.com, and let us know what's going on with the crazy aggressive pruning going on? TI blogs about draft law on free trade and competition. The MPs changed it a lot just before the third reading, which is against the law, although there were some improvements. But the law in terms of third reading changes still seems to be violated. Georgian banks are currently switching to IBAN, IBA, and bank accounting system, which will supposedly make transfers easier.
And I think that kind of brings them in line with the... I don't know how bank accounts are managed in Europe and how you do transactions are all over the world, and I hope it will make transactions cheaper and more convenient to do, because right now it's often quite a hassle to transfer money within Georgia. And maybe it finally, you know, will bring something like PayPal and all these services to Georgia.
Well, I talked to the National Bank, the head of the National Bank, about PayPal, and supposedly it's just a small market issue. It's just so tiny, they're like, we don't really want to deal with it, you know. So, I don't know. Keep me, you know, anybody knows the head of PayPal, tell them to, you know, hook us up. The 150-seat Georgian parliament was not able to vote on a number of bills on April 12th because it did not have the quorum, of the pretty modest quorum of 76 lawmakers in the choir.
Out of 150, so they couldn't get half of them to show up.
Wait, but you should tell the story, too, because that one's pretty interesting.
Well, there was a round of voting, and it was basically accepted, you know, laws have... Quorum was easily met and laws passed, and then an opposition MP said, wait a minute, I don't think we're that many people in the room. And then they said, okay, let's vote again, and again the quorum was passed. And this guy said, no, can we please count the people in the room? And then they started counting the people in the room, and they found, well, sorry, we are actually not enough people in the room. So this was another of many cases of ghost voting.
Who is the opposition MP? Interesting. That's good. Good that they stopped them.
Yeah. Like, and so the chair of parliament then said, thank you very much to
the opposition. Who was running it? Was it...
Bakrace was running it. So he said, thank you very much for highlighting this issue. Everybody will be, you know, people who ghost voted, so voted for somebody who wasn't there, but they had their chip card, will be fined with a monthly salary, which is in the law, but has never been done to our knowledge before. Mm-hmm. So if
Excellent.
They do this...
Let's see if they do it. Yeah, we'll have to follow up on that. Khatuna Kalmachidze should leave the post of Minister of Corrections and Legal Assistance, according to the Ombudsman in his annual report to Parliament last week. I don't know what she does, but certainly prison's a lot of issues there. EUMM would have known if there were illegal arms formations in Georgia, according to the head of the mission on Maestro TV.
But they didn't really say anything publicly, which, I mean, the EU spends a lot of money on this.
Right. And they don't ever say anything publicly, do they? I mean,
they have in the past said sometimes something, if there was an incident, you know, along the administrative borderline, but recently they haven't really commented on this. And these are issues that are, you know, widely discussed among, you know, in Poti and Cajeti. People are talking about it, you know, nobody knows what's going on. Everybody is, like, you know, insecure, like, is there allegedly, you know, militia built? Is the government handing out arms? And so the EUMM, I think, could play a very constructive role in just saying if they've seen anything or not.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, look, we love the EUMM. We're so happy that they're here. But, you know, can you, like, just say some stuff if you, with all this information that you ought to have, considering how much it costs?
But they make weekly confidential reports.
Right.
Yeah, I know they make weekly confidential reports, but I'm somehow not on that circulation
list. Me neither. I just know that they exist.
Right. You're European, Matthias. Don't you get those things? I mean, you know, come on. I don't know. Rustavioti had an uproarious report about how almost the entire Azeri population and villages in Georgia are enrolled voluntarily in military service, and also Armenians are extremely enthusiastic to serve. Much ridiculed on Facebook this week. The Russian Foreign Ministry said that Russians should not go to Georgia because it's dangerous. Would be very much disagreed by the blog. In the New York Times, the Latitudes blog, about how there are just tons and tons of Russians in Gudauri, and certainly I saw that when I was skiing there, that there really are. You can even on Rustavelli, I mean, there are just a lot of, I mean, I don't know if they're Eastern Ukrainians or, you know, what, but there are really a lot of tourists.
The great thing about Russian tourists is I think they spend money, you know, like the Czech backpackers.
Right.
They don't spend that much.
Right.
But the Russian tourists, I think they spend
absolutely
a good amount.
Well, and there are a lot, too. I mean, I think just the fact that the Russian government would announce that illustrates that they're a little bothered, I think, by the number of Russians showing up.
I think that it relates, though, specifically to the two occupied territories and the fact that if Russians or anybody crosses the border into Georgia through those entry points, then they could be arrested once they hit Georgian-controlled territory.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was unwise for Georgia to find the Russian guy who came in, and it would be nice if there's some clarity there. I mean, I, for example, know a friend of a Russian from Tbilisi, who's also a Russian from Tbilisi, living in Moscow, who's gone into Abkhazia, been living in Moscow for, you know, 5 years, but has gone to Abkhazia, has relatives there, and wants to come back to Georgia and doesn't know now, can I come back to Georgia or not? And, I mean, Georgia should clarify that a bit. I mean, I understand the point. You know, they want to be all hard-nosed about all that stuff, but still. Russia says Georgia's decision to leave the military transparency agreement known as the Open Sky Agreement could lead to a collapse of the treaty. Democracy and Freedom Watch writes that the Roki Tunnel, which leads from north to south Ossetia and is really the only road connecting Russia and South Ossetia, will be partly closed for 3 years.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to go back one. Deputy Foreign Minister Nino Kalandadze has said that they have not left that Open Skies Treaty, that they've rather suspended it.
Uh-huh. Well, what does that mean? Suspended for how long?
I don't know.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, that's a little creepy. I mean, you know, less transparency in arms, is that, do we really need that? The de facto president of de facto South Ossetia, Leonid Tibalov, has announced that he will reopen Ergneti Market, not far from Skhinvali. This was closed under well-known nutter, Irakli Okroshvili's tenure as Minister of Defense, where everything sold there was smuggled.
A lot of it coming through Vladikavkaz, contraband cigarettes and alcohol.
Interesting to see how that'll work and what the Georgians will do. I can't imagine that they'll... I mean, that's what it is. It's a smuggler's market, right. So why would
but
the Georgians...
But wasn't it in the part also one thing that brought all the different ethnicities together?
It really did. Yeah, it was quite egalitarian. Right, an impressive place. I mean, the things that you could buy there was truly astounding.
The Georgian government has made no response because they said that Tbilov is a person of no consequence.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, evidently not a very popular person in South Ossetia, you know, considering his path to power. Democracy and Freedom Watch writes about how Abkhaz patients come to Georgia for treatment. They're giving that, you know, treatment for free to Abkhaz, and I've heard a lot of talk about that in Abkhazia. Anqab says this doesn't really mean anything. The people aren't getting closer. It's just a matter of saving lives. Black Sea Press reports that Turkish police seized 500 grams of radioactive material smuggled to the country through Georgia. Interestingly, the information came from a car with a German license plate. Very strange report, not picked up by too many. Who knows what's going on there? Here's one of my favorite stories. The environment minister, Goga Khachidze, says that Lazika won't damage the environment. The impact assessment that he didn't do on the plans that have not yet been made for how that will be built were not really
how to build in a protected area.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just illustrating that really, that's bad.
I recently read something that reminded me that he was the person who wrote Misha Magaria, the song.
And the police anthem.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Misha
Magaria. Comerson.ge reports that the government has spent 2 million lari on Lazika and are soon to present some sort of plan to investors. Voice of America has a story about tourists that visit Georgia, but it says that counting visitors as tourists is misleading, and it doubts that actually 5 million will come this year, which is the plan. New gas stations on the highway after Gori are fantastic. The Sokar Goodwill one is great. Has a buffet, espresso bar, and clean
toilet seat covers. They've got toilet seat covers.
I was going to say restrooms, as we Americans prefer to say. And I know there's the battle of the bathrooms. There's smart shops are pretty nice that V-Soil has. The last one. After Goldani, so...
Yeah. Well, they have one on one side and one on the other side. So you kind of hit one on the way out and one on the way back in. And they're both actually quite good.
Very nice. But I encourage everybody just to use the bathroom and, have a coffee there, but don't refuel at Sokar. Because Sokar guards yesterday in Azerbaijan, in Baku, they really beat up an investigative reporter who just had received a reporting prize from The Guardian. He was reporting about how Sokar in the outskirts of Baku is tearing down people's houses. And I've heard that that people had to leave their house and couldn't even take all their stuff out of their apartment before they, bulldozed it. And so this guy was reporting on it, and then some Sokar guards, knocked him down, and he was in hospital now. So
listeners, do not buy gas at Sokar. Choose another. And also support V-Soil, which owns Smart Shop, which is putting in a giant grocery store right in the middle of town, which will be a very, very important step in avoiding the suburbanization of Tbilisi, which is happening before our eyes.
But we don't really know who owns V-Soil. So
it's like Soso Khakadze, right?
Yeah, there's
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll have to get a committee on that. We'll figure that one out. Come on, you work for TI. Come on, go. See what you can do there. Commerçant.ge has a report that Georgian real estate prices continue to drop. Bloomberg reports that China has started construction on the Neskra hydropower plant in Svaneti. There is a $630 million U.S. dollar investment. Magticom will raise the cost of calls to Geocell while decreasing the price of calls to Beeline. Interpress News reports that the excise cost for vodka will increase from 3 to 5 lari per bottle. Pretty substantial increase for you vodka drinkers.
Wow, I think there's bottles of vodka out there that cost you 5 lari, so I have 2 of that.
Who knew? I hadn't bought a bottle of vodka in a while.
So.
I don't know what kind. There were some back in the 90s that, you'd have to put pepper in them to soak up the gasoline from the oil drum it had been transported in.
That's how you do it.
The new lottery with receipts or so-called checks started in Georgia. So ask for it every time you buy something. You can win up to 50,000 lari if you find the number of the receipt online. Interesting way of encouraging people to take receipts, because a lot of times people, of course, just don't take them and leave them sitting there, which encourages shopkeepers not to, hand them over.
But now everybody has to have this small GPRS cashier, and my understanding is the receipt has a barcode on it, mm-hmm. and it transmits through the cell phone network the amount from that store to the tax authorities, so they can really monitor all the turnover. And I think they had an initiative. I don't know; it was not very well publicized, but I had heard about it that they were actually paying people who report violators. I don't know if many people did that.
That's
but
a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Well, they were employing people to go in and see if they could get people to not give them receipts. And then they were also, I think, giving rewards for people who reported on that as well.
Interesting. So there are allegations that that Global TV is giving antennas for free and is spacing out the payment over 9 years, which they're saying is an attempt to win voters over and is like a payment.
So you do a 10-year contract and you get this kind of receiver. You can watch Channel 9 and a bunch of other TV channels, Ivanishvili's channel, which is expected to be on the air next week. And, yeah, so it's free in the first year, and then you have 9 years of payment ahead of you. But in most countries, a 10-year binding contract for something like a TV set wouldn't fly. I mean, that's just...
Well, it depends on
how much it costs. I mean, it may not be that much.
It's like the total amount is like 450 lari over 10 years you have to pay.
Well, and the one free year is the important year.
Yeah.
Right. Imedi TV lawyers say that closing Women's Logic, the incredibly stupid sexist TV show, would go against freedom of expression. Civic activists that we support are continuing the fight against this totally stupid show. TS Press reports that the national movement is already actively campaigning in Poti. Paliko Kubalashvili and other members of the government are there. Well, actually, member of parliament are there meeting people. The prosecutor's office has arrested the head of the third construction company fulfilling Poti's mayor's construction tenders, according to Beyond Tbilisi. So, the Festival of Georgian Cheese is in Tsinandali, starts at 4 p.m. on Saturday in the Alexandre Chavchavadze Museum this weekend. Last week, the question was, what do Abraham Lincoln and Mukhran Machavadiani have in common? We had nobody get the right answer. The right answer is, they both died in theaters. And our question for this week... Sulguni cheese in a mint and yogurt sauce, the famed Maghrelian dish gebjalia. And our question, which restaurant in Tbilisi has the best gebjalia?
Oh, this is like the gachituri testing.
send us your best shot either on our forum underneath this or by email to tbilpod@gmail.com. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. That's Tango X-Ray, Tango Bravo Uniform. Kilo email is tbilpod@gmail.com. Send us whatever you want, or better post things on our new forum. Some very cool story trips we've been getting, story tips we've been emailed recently. We're looking into those, and thank you very much. We appreciate it. We will finish with Stevie Wonder, 1973.
Let's go.